an automatic voice message system.
Dear Pretty Girls, what's your mood today? I feel like we got a lot to talk about.
Girl, how you feeling today?
I don't know, but we damn sure gonna talk about it.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Jonte Janae, your favorite country bae. And we're back with another episode of Dear Pretty Girls and Rock in the Spot. Don't make it hot. What's up, girl?
You already know. Your girl, Rocky, we here. We in the spot. And it's super hot in here. Like, this is a great one. She's hot. She's hot stuff. Come on, Jonte. Introduce our guest.
Well, before we introduce her, I'm excited for her. I feel like I need to give her a grand introduction because I'm very excited that she's on here with us today. Mm-hmm. We have Miss Sierra
Leanne. Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing good.
You look good. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank y'all for having me on this podcast.
Thank you for coming. Because mm-hmm. you probably, I don't know if this is against the rules, but I'm probably going to get a free therapy session. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And today's topic is about the silent struggles. Mm-hmm. So for anybody who's first, we just want to definitely give that disclaimer, reach out if you're having anxiety, depression, suffering from it. Please reach out. This episode is going to be vulnerable, and we want to open the floor so we can talk about literally every single thing that a person is probably going through that they don't want to admit. We're here to make you admit it, because it's time.
We're here to make you admit it.
For real. So first off, I do want to just go ahead and we can hop into it. Okay. With you being a mental therapist yourself, first off, what made you get into that field of helping, or just the mental part? Because you got different therapists.
Mm-hmm. So when I first moved to Atlanta, I was a case manager. So okay. I got my bachelor's degree in social work because I know that I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I know that I liked helping people. I like serving people. Mm-hmm. I just like working with people. So once I graduated from University of Toledo, I moved to Atlanta and I was doing case management. I noticed that the families that I was working with, they kind of like gravitated towards me. So you got to think, I'm working under therapists. So the company I worked for, you had to have a therapist and you had to have a case manager. Mm-hmm. So I was a case manager, but a lot of times, like, they was calling me like I was a therapist. I'm like, oh my God, I'm just here to give y'all resources. So once I saw that I was able to make like that connection with the people, it made me want to further my education, because I would ask them, like, what do I need to do to get paid? Like, I'm not getting paid to be a right. therapist, but I'm playing the role of a therapist. So they told me the stuff that I needed to do. So, of course, I always been into human behavior, always been into psychology. So I just went ahead and went to school for it. And then I moved up to a therapist. So, yeah, I guess the people that I was serving, they made me want to be a therapist.
That's what we call Black excellence.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, because even though you are a therapist, I'm pretty sure we all go through shit.
Yeah.
So what's a way that you can detox your mind yourself? Because you have to deal with so, like, literally, you're basically like a bowl
yeah.
that people pour their trauma into. So it's like an energy thing. You're holding their energy, mm-hmm. but you also got to make sure your own mind is good.
Yeah.
How do you de-escalate from it?
I take a lot of mental breaks. For one, I'm glad that I make my own schedule, because if I didn't, I'd be going crazy. I just got back from vacation, a 7-day vacation. So that's some of the things that I do. I travel. I'll just take a break, whether it's just in the city. I go out to a river, or, you know, go to the trail, go walking. I do a lot of physical fitness to keep my mind in the mental space that I feel like I need to be in, just not only for my clients, but for me. So a lot of times, like, if I feel myself being overwhelmed, honestly, like, I have my own therapist. Me as a therapist, I have a psychologist, which is my mentor and my therapist. So he's so well trained that we could be talking about business. He'd just pull me to the side and be like, Tara, what's going on? You good? Like, you seem like you're a little overwhelmed. And I'm just like, yeah, I am overwhelmed. And I feel like it's a safe space for me, because he gets it. You know what I'm saying? He understands that we're working with a lot of people, for one. We're taking on people's issues and their problems. It's like on top of us having our own problems. So a lot of times I try to have a poker face, go in and just, but if you know, you know. You know, if you see a person and you know how they usually are, then you're able to pick up on them if they're kind of like mentally struggling with something.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of like a blessing to have to work with people that are therapists, because that's how I get my free therapy.
I know that's right. Use that free healthcare within that free healthcare.
Yeah, I do.
Service for service, okay? So, one thing, and also you mentioned something that I do want to talk about, like how you just need to decompress sometimes. Yeah. So, I want to personally say, like, me, I struggle with depression. Mm-hmm. But I've never seeked help. Yeah. Not once. So what advice would you give to somebody who is struggling but don't want to just go out and get it because they feel like they can't handle it themselves?
Okay. I always ask people, do they have a support system? Because you can have a family member or a friend that's a therapist to you. You get what I'm saying? Like your personal diary. You got to have that one person that's in your circle, that's in your life, that you can be yourself with, that you can vent to. And if you don't have that person in your life, then I feel like you should seek a therapist, and you shouldn't hold back from that or feel ashamed. You know, there's a lot of stigmas behind it. But once you really step out there, anybody I know that comes to me, they're like, when I first came, I didn't know what to expect. And now they love it. They eat it up, because it's like, it's so refreshing to have somebody you can talk to without feeling judged or feel like they, you know, yeah, gonna tell your business.
You.
It's just like, you can just sit there and you can let it all pour out. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have that person in your life, I would say go seek therapy, and don't feel bad about it. Just try it out one time. And if it works for you, then that's good. But if it doesn't, like I said, try to find somebody that you can talk to about anything too without feeling judged.
Right.
It's very important to have that person. Like, we all think we can do it alone. I tell people all the time, like, you gonna think your way into a depression by you feeling like you gotta always isolate yourself. Like, people be feeling like, okay, I'm about to go by myself. Like, they, when you going through stuff, you think the people around you the problem, but really it's the inner thoughts that you fighting. You fighting your own demons and your own battle, and you trying to blame it on the people around you, when now you isolating yourself and you cutting off your support system. So once you do that, you're gonna go into a dark space, because who is there to really save you from drowning?
Yeah, that's
a lot of mercy. We get it deep over here.
It's not to get deep.
And I also, are there any stories that anybody on this couch wants to share? If y'all are open to that,
stories of like
anything you've ever dealt with that you're like, okay, I'm okay, I can finally share that story now and probably help somebody else.
I'm gonna let somebody go first.
Why everybody look at me? Y'all caught that, right? Damn, when I said I struggle about depression,
we all have stories. We gotta think on that one. Like, I gotta
the fact that in school, I hated the people that went to school with me. When I say hate is a strong word. I hated people that went to school with me. Because being pretty, you're a hoe. And we talked about that before. You're automatically a hoe. She sleep with that person. She does that with that person. That shit got to me. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those things where, damn, I can't tell my mama I want to go to school because I got to go to school.
Yeah, right.
But I didn't want to go. Yeah. So I just started acting out. Like, just...
And I feel like parents seem to listen to their kids more with that school stuff, too. Like, I feel like when I was coming up, it wasn't no stay home. Even if you're sick, baby, go. You ain't that sick. The nurse will send you home if you're that sick. But it's like me, my baby, 3. And it's days. If he's tired in the morning, we are staying home.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't care. Daycare can wait. You got your whole life to go to school. But I really want to raise him that way. Like, if you need a mental health day, you let mommy know. And you want to stay home. And we're going to go out and get some food or something. Like, I think that's so important because... Yeah. They throw us into the loop early.
Yeah,
kindergarten. And for my baby, he's already in daycare, preschool. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, come on. And my sister, why is he missing school? He's 2.
Okay. And he gave me an excuse. He's 2 for today.
Okay, yeah. Like, 2. I'm tired. Okay, we stay home today, period. Like,
yeah, I fell off 2.
I think another thing is, in our generation, are y'all in y'all 20s, 30s?
Mm-hmm. I'm finna be 30. Okay, I don't want to talk about it.
But yeah, I think in our generation... And how we grew up, a lot of people, maybe not all, but our parents kind of dropped the ball on our emotional support.
Yes, they did.
Like, they were taught, and I think they're only doing what they were taught.
Mm-hmm.
Because in their generation, they were taught to sweep things under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think they just carried on that generational curse.
Yes, they did.
Without even knowing it. Mm-hmm. Because I remember times where One day, this is around the time my grandmother had passed away, and I knew my mom was going through something, but it just seemed like she was like taking it down on me. Mm-hmm. And I'm an only child, so I was just like, you know, I kept trying to tell my mom, like, Mom, you being a little snappy lately, like, you keep being mean to me.
You
like, you know, like, I'm trying to tell her like, you need to relax. Yeah. Like, it's becoming so obvious to the point where I'm hurt, like, you know, it's affecting me tremendously. And I will never forget, I never kind of like had an outburst on my mom, but I was throwing stuff. I was like, you don't care about my emotions.
Oh, you've been a little therapist.
You out or anything.
She was just sitting there looking at me and she still ignored it. So I get what you're saying. Like, it's like she was just laughing or something. Like, she was just looking at me like, you look stupid. And I'm just like, how could you just sit there and just not
Black
console
parents,
me? Like,
must be better.
Yes,
please,
that's the thing. Like, I think what it is too, my mom didn't know what to do in that moment. Yeah. Like, she didn't know, because when you say the word emotions, people automatically look at it like a weakness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they try to stay away from that word. Like, let's tiptoe around it. Like, no, my emotions is
right.
My feelings are hurt. Like, come on now. But she still to this day, like, we don't talk about that type of stuff. And I feel like a lot of kids, they feel like they're not heard. You know, you got a lot of kids that's out here committing suicide because a lot of the support is not there at home. You know, like, you kids are going to run away. Kids are going to act out and be unruly when they don't have that support at home.
Right.
So I think it's important for mothers and fathers, both parents, to pay attention to their kids' mental health as well, because even though you're their children, they still have feelings and they still have mind of their
own.
And
all their feelings are also valid. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's their problems that they're going through at that age. Like, you know, we're not to, because I feel like in the Black community, when you're a kid and you stressed or something, they just laugh at you like, girl, you ain't got no bills. What you stressed for?
Exactly.
Do you know what the teacher said to me today?
Exactly.
Did anybody check my book bag to see how much homework I got? Like, is anything, like, what are we doing?
So a lot of times, you know, it goes unaddressed, and people carry that out throughout their life, and they never get over it. A lot of my clients come in, they be like, well, you know what kind of childhood I had? And I'm like, I think we all have a story about our childhood, and living in a Black community, growing up with Black parents. Like, maybe it was slavery, something embedded, you know, in the past that hindered them to really be able to be there for us. So I think it took for me to become a therapist and for me to really do my own research. I'm like, okay, my mom wasn't there for me emotionally because her mom wasn't there for her emotionally. Like, she don't know how to deal with her emotions. Even now at 60, I don't think so. Like, she just don't know how
about me either.
She don't know how. Mm-hmm. So I can't expect her, or I can't blame her for that, because she don't know
you. And we got to take it easy on them too.
Yeah.
Because I feel like now at my big age and me being so aware, I be telling my mom, like, Mom, you ain't even care. Like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like they don't care until I was in trouble. Like, until like the grades came and I got all F's. Then it's like, well, what the hell's going on? It's like, girl, I done came in this house every day for the last 3 months. Nobody asked me, how was your day? How was school today? How you feeling?
It's always
that.
That
was my problem. I used to ignore my mom.
Oh, shoot.
And that was a problem. I used to get in the car every day, and she would be like, how was your day? How was school? Good. I hated talking. How was your day? Good.
And at least your mom asked. You got to give her that.
My mom was yelling, you didn't clean this up. Every day. I'm like, oh, my God. That is stressful.
Do y'all think having, like, being a baby or being the only child has something to do with that?
Yeah.
Because I'm the baby, and I don't get the other stuff.
Right.
Well,
okay.
I didn't get like the yelling.
Like, I was. Well, no, I'm a baby, and I was still getting cursed out.
Yeah.
I was cursed out, very much so. I'm the baby that was still cursed out. I don't know.
I mean, I really did not have a gentle parent, but I thank God that I had the type of mother that I do have now, because it's like, that's where I get my strength from. I think I probably would be like a little
weak, little green,
lame. Like, if it weren't for my mom, because my mom don't play. Like, my mom was like, what? You, like, she always taught me to stand up for myself. Like, all the time. And I feel like she went so hard on it because she saw that I was so soft. Like, my heart was just so soft, and I just wanted to care for everybody. I was just, so she was just doing, you know, the best thing really for me.
And it really comes in handy with these men.
It does.
Shout out to Mom Dukes.
What? Shout out to Mom Dukes.
I would never forget what my mama told me. I was in sixth grade and the school was about to jump yoke some Jordans. And I cried. Like, I was... it was a brand new Jordans that came out the whole school for the jump me. But I cried right there. And I remember my mama saying, I don't care how mad you are. I don't care what you're feeling. You don't ever cry in front of nobody.
Until you sweat.
Yeah, and to this day, I keep that with me. Mm. No matter how I'm feeling, I do not cry in front of nobody. Mm. And I think that turns it into cussing them out because I can't cry.
Wow.
But that stuck with me for so long, so I definitely get what y'all saying.
Yeah.
Even when you hit on the children, it's like children go through shit.
Yeah.
Children really go through shit.
They
do. 8-year-old hung himself. I remember that story because he was being bullied for calling, they was calling him gay.
Exactly.
He wasn't gay. Mm. But that shit hurt.
Even if he was, leave the boy alone.
Exactly. It's not y'all business.
Y'all freaking ate.
Kids
are cruel, and I always tell parents too, like the parents I work with, if your child is constantly acting out and having all these behavioral issues, look into what's going on. Talk to them. Like, they're not just doing these things just because they want to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, they're doing these things because they want some attention. They may have a little disorder or mental illness going on, you know, or if they're taught these things. So you got to get in your child's business, see what's going on. Like, don't just look at the physical form of them and be like, oh, they're good, they're good. And I think a lot of parents do that. They just look at you and see that you're happy or you're smiling, you got your clothes on, you brush your teeth, did you want, you know, like, it's more to it than that when you're checking your child. Like, you should be asking them, how do you feel? What's going on at school? Especially at school, because I feel like a lot of issues happen at school. Like, we...
A lot of things happen.
Any child know, like, your heartbreaks and your first bully encounter. Like, first a lot of experiences as a child happen.
And even the clickiness, not feeling like you fit in, like, all of that.
Yeah,
it's
trying to create an identity.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, all that.
I made sure I was the it girl.
Okay.
That was so random. I made sure. Even though y'all was, I made sure I was the it girl.
Baby. Period.
I
walked in. The girls that get it.
Yeah, I really didn't do the bully thing. I ain't bully like that. I probably was a bully, but.
No, you wasn't.
I probably was.
So, what, because you're a baddie. Now, I know for a fact you deal with males that try to come at you. So, I know that's a solid struggle that you probably have to face, that you probably can't decompress. We're here, they're pretty girls.
Right.
Like, how do you handle that? Trying to be professional, being a baddie, but you got these, what you call them, scammy. Just don't know how to keep it
in
their pen.
Yeah. How do you
hold
deal with
niggas
like that? And y'all, I'm gonna say niggas. Fuck me.
What you mean, like, in my professional life or my
professional life?
Do black men come to you a lot for therapy?
Yes, they do.
And good. They deal with celebrities.
Good. Shout out to them. Yes, they do.
I'm a celebrity therapist.
When, well, yeah. When I see them and I see that they're taking a turn to even try to do that, I automatically set those boundaries right then and there. Mm. Like, no, this is not that type of relationship. Like, I done dropped clients plenty of time. I remember one time I had this dude. He decided that he wanted to blow my phone up. Like, he probably called my phone like 80 times.
Oh,
and he was like, you're supposed to be here for me? Like, what kind of program is this? And I'm like, baby, this is not that type of program.
My therapist or your wife?
Exactly. I was like, this
even
is not
your
that
wife,
type
you don't need to call her 80 times.
Thank you. But that shows, like, why he was in therapy. And I tried my best to kind of, you know, help him and guide him. But it really didn't work out. So I had to discontinue that relationship. Like, I had to tell him, it's affecting my personal life.
That's
like, my phone just bring, 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 bring. He texts it. I'm like, oh, okay, you got the wrong idea. Okay, I done been a little too nice.
Too nice.
So I try to set the tone. But ever since then, that was like when I first started out. I think I was a little timid or something.
Yeah.
But now, I don't know. They don't try me now.
Don't even play with
me. In my personal life, yes, they do. I'd be like, y'all are so thirsty. But
of course.
In my professional life, no, they don't. I think it's a level of respect. Like, when I walk in the room, I try to set that tone. And, like, I actually have a lot of gay clients, too. Male clients.
Nice.
And they are so cute. Like, they always compliment me. And I'll be like, I don't know how to feel about that. But I just be like, thank you. Like, I like your hair. Like, you know they get into the fashion.
Yes,
and stuff. Yes, so I just embrace it. I'm like, okay.
And you should. Them compliments from the gay men be real life compliments.
Yeah.
They talking about. Yeah. If they say your shit lady, your shit lady.
Yeah. So, yeah. But other than that, no, I don't deal with that. I think I'm doing a good job with setting those boundaries versus when I first came into the game. I think I was a little timid.
Okay. So, So I do want to talk about your book here, if you don't mind. Can we pick it up?
Yes.
So, Understanding Anger. Mm-hmm. And I want y'all to go cop this on Amazon, okay? Yes. Where else can they find it? Just Amazon?
Amazon.
Go cop this on Amazon.
Understanding Anger. Yes.
Now, I want to speak on it because a lot of people, a lot of people cannot they don't understand their anger. Mm-hmm. So what was the motivation and the inspiration behind writing this book?
Honey, my own anger.
Mm. Hello.
So,
and anger is such a strong emotion, right?
Yeah.
That's such a rageful, like,
It really is. And I feel like once you understand that anger is not really a bad thing, you're able to navigate through it. And one trick that I learned was you have to change your perspective of things. Mm. You cannot always see things how you want to see it. You know, and it's like, even if you do see it for what it is, you have to kind of psych yourself out to say, okay, that's not what it is.
Right.
Especially if you know that you're a person that goes 0 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
So what inspired me was at the time of me writing that book, during that period, I was going through it in a relationship. I was having some issues or whatever. And I noticed that my anger was getting out of control. Mind you, I already took an anger management class to become an anger management specialist in there. So I already had these notes. So this was during the pandemic. I noticed that my anger was kind of getting off the hook, I was like, you know what? Let me read my notes. Let me go back to my notes because I have the tools. Let me pull them out. A lot of times we do have tools, but we don't even remember, or we just don't use them. We set them aside and we just don't use them. This particular day, I end up digging up the notes or whatever. I looked over the things. I'm like, okay, yeah, got that. So as I was reading the pamphlets and stuff, I was just taking notes. And when I got finished taking notes, I was writing like a journal. I was writing notes. I'm like, this is a whole book. It was a lot because I've always loved writing.
Yeah.
So once I got finished with that, I was like, this is a book. I'm about to publish this. And I just start typing it. And I was like, I'm going to come out with an anger management book because I want to help people, you know, especially Black men, because I feel like a lot of times they are angry and they don't even understand why.
Mm-hmm. They don't talk about their problems.
They don't talk about their problems.
I really don't. I genuinely think they don't understand why.
They don't understand.
Like, I really think that.
So in that book, it's to help them understand.
Yeah.
Each chapter is not too much, especially if you're not a reader. So it's, you know, it's just enough information to help you understand, okay, this is why I might be angry. This is the cause of it. This is some things I could do. Because I even talk about childhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of things are taught. You're not just angry. You might have been taught to hit a woman. You might have seen, you know what I'm saying? You might have seen your mom and your dad arguing and your mom throwing glasses at your daddy. Like, those are things that some people are taught. But one thing that we have to do is learn how to control it. And that's the key. Like, we all get angry, but it's about controlling it.
I know they're sorry.
I love them.
And I think we don't highlight men mental health enough.
Mm-mm, we really don't.
Men poor already black men, feel like
especially
they
Black men.
Right.
And you know what's so funny? When I first created this podcast, it was technically for men.
Really?
Yeah, I wanted a man's perspective on everything a girl go through.
Mm. Wow.
That was the whole reason of creating this podcast.
Wow.
I wish you would have had a man here too, because I want them and Jess.
Poor
your
gonna get next man. Episode's a band.
Yeah, I'm getting a man.
Yeah.
And that was the whole reason of creating this, because men, like I said, they mental health don't get highlighted.
It doesn't.
So what advice would you give to a man who feel like they have to be strong?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let them know, like, it's okay to cry.
Yeah, it's definitely okay to cry. And even for you, when you said that you was taught to not cry in front of people and stuff, like, I feel like, you know, you could cry in front of people. You could cry in front of the people who you are safe around. And I always go back to your support system. Like, if I'm sitting here in a therapy session with you and you like, well, I don't want to cry, I'm like, well, you're doing yourself a disservice. Like,
right.
Cry. I got a whole closet full of tissues. You know? So, for men, I would say, do not be ashamed of your struggles or your mishaps. We all have issues. I feel like as women, we have to be more supportive to men as well. If we're going to promote men's mental health, we have to start by being supportive, of course. So I would say, don't be ashamed of your issues. You know, if you find yourself having some dark thoughts, or you find yourself being extra or extremely angry, that's a good sign that you should seek some help. You should, like the same advice I gave to you, I feel like you should always have somebody there that you could talk to, whether it's a mentor, you know, someone a little older that can give you some knowledge and wisdom. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing for men is to talk. Like, they don't talk enough. When they're going through stuff, they just shut down. And I think that's unhealthy. I think that is the reason why sometimes they can become uncivilized, because when you're holding your thoughts in, you're not able to really express how you feel. You're not able to organize those thoughts. You just, they're everywhere. So now you just shut down, and we get stuck with that. The black woman gets stuck with that.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to aid you during that time. So it's like, okay, if you're going through something, especially if it's financial.
Hello.
And I mean, I'm not saying it like that, but y'all are women, y'all are black women, y'all, I'm pretty sure every woman in here has experienced that. When it comes to, like, especially finances, because that's a big one. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you are going through something and you definitely have a lot on your mind, you should be able to express that to the women in your life, express that to your woman, you know. And I feel like you shouldn't feel ashamed about it.
Yeah.
And as a woman, you should be able to support your man. But I feel like they go wrong when they don't say anything, because now as a woman, we trying to figure out what's going on with you, and we can't read your mind, but we can read your energy, and your energy is completely off. So that's going to cause more chaos.
She's talking.
I think communication is the key.
And I'm trying to figure out, how do I handle these black men with all these problems? Yeah. Like, not to say that black women have problems too, but I feel like you said, sometimes we just get stuck with it, right? Because we're the ones that date black men, we nurture black men.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like we get the shitty end of the stick, if you will, because they're not knowing how to process their emotions or effectively communicate.
Yeah.
And it's like, at what point is it wrong? Like, because I be feeling bad. Like, I want to support black men because I really love black men. You know what I'm saying? But we not finna do this. Like,
we love black men.
No, we not finna do this, though. Right. Like, we not punching no walls. We not doing none of that. Like, we not throwing shit. I'm not with none of the drama.
None of it.
So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, how do we help a black man who's not even aware to know? And I be trying to tell him. I be trying to read these niggas. What you're really mad about is.
But see, that's what we gotta stop doing.
Okay.
Because we always just assume, we make assumptions. But you're not telling us exactly.
She said, I gotta read
you. You're not telling us what's wrong with you. So now I have to come up with my own assumption of what's going on. But that can create even more of an issue, because now you assuming something that may not even be what it is. So I always say, stay silent sometimes. Just stay silent enough to make a person comfortable, enough to make him want to open up to you.
Right.
Because if you stay silent long enough, then he's going to break. He's going to eventually say what's on his mind.
Right.
Because now you're not making it an issue. You're making it more so of just, I'm here. It's a settled situation. This is peace. Yes, like, just make it a peaceful environment for the men, because I feel like a lot of times when we don't know what's going on, we jump to conclusion, and that it just throws more fuel to the fire.
It's the truth. That's why I'm gonna stay single. I'm healing in my journey. Right. I'm probably gonna go start seeing Miss Tierra.
Like, in my head, I was like, I need to come stop. Like, you see me out here, like,
I'm gonna come try to pick it up. I'm healing right now.
This is a good season too. I'm like,
dang. Yeah.
And I always had the what do they call it when you can think of the future?
Oh,
predictions. Okay. So I always had a prediction that in 2025, mental health will become a prevalent thing. More people will start, you know, talking about their issues.
Why 2025?
I don't know. I just had that prediction. Like,
and
I
it's been jumping.
And now, yes, like, soon as December hit, people want to change their life. I'm like, I know that's right. Y'all keep being busy.
Because that was my platform for Miss Black Atlanta. So when I had to do my platform, I chose youth, specifically mental health.
Because
I'm like, they struggle so much. One thing I do want to talk about is why when we cry, because I know you said, like, it's okay to cry, but we're looked at as weak. Like, it's weak. We can't cry because then we're weak.
I love to cry.
And that's why I can't cry. Like, I cannot cry no more in front of people.
You can cry, honey. It's so good for you. But it's not, it's actually strength to be able to cry. That's gangster like. I feel like when people try to act like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like, that's weak to me. People. No offense to you, but that's weak to me.
No,
like,
you're out.
Let it out. Right. That's strength.
But it's so hard to cry. Like, I can be so sad in front of you. Like, but this, okay, tell me if I got a problem, because I think I got a problem. I'm for real. So instead of me crying, my first instinct is to pick up some the nearest hardest thing and throw it at your head. I'm talking about bullshit. I want to hurt you.
Okay. But that's a form of expression.
Okay, so.
So how is that not considered weak?
Because I don't know. I guess because in my head I look at it, you know, not to try me again. That's it. I literally leave the conversation like that. I pick up my phone, throw it dead at your head, walk over there, pick it up. I'm like, now what lesson did we learn today?
She low key not wrong. That's a misconception though. I think crying is good for you, but I mean, a lot of people do look at crying as a weakness, and I'm not gonna lie, I can see where people can say that because it depends on who you're around. Like I always say, it's comfortability is everything. You might not feel comfortable with crying around a person that you don't like or a person that's
sissy.
Yeah, but you know what's the toughest thing to me is boundaries. I feel like before we get to throwing shit, like I'll cry in front of a nigga and leave tomorrow. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Don't get me fucked up. Like, my sadness is not weakness. It's just, damn, you got me so frustrated to the point I'm in tears and I'm out of character.
Yeah.
That's my cue to go. And that's just the most gangster thing you could do.
I gotta learn.
And leave a nigga where they at.
And they be
shook. That's
walk away from it for a second. I always ask people, especially my clients, like, do you consider yourself as a fighter or a flighter?
Mm.
It's two responses that you have during altercation. Either you gonna fight or fly.
Mm.
I think I'm a flighter.
I need to get away once.
I'm a flight.
Right.
You know, don't get me wrong. I have not always been like this. Like, trust me. But I feel like the more that I learned about life in general and human psychology and about myself, I'm like, okay, the best thing for me to do is probably to walk away from a situation because I know me. I'm going to get violent. I'm going to say something that I cannot take back, you know? And I've done that before and I felt so stupid. Like, why would I say that?
You go low, I go to hell.
Ooh, wait.
That's Shantia thing.
That's a thing. We're trying to clear my priceness right now, okay?
Even hurt because they'll never see it coming from me. And it's just like, now I have to walk into the other room or just walk away and gather my thoughts and then come back and give you a response. So, I mean, even with fighting is not bad. And when I say fighting, I always say not with your hands. I ain't saying throw no hands. I'm saying fighting as far as confronting the person. Confronting them in a healthy manner, confronting them in a civilized manner.
Okay, right. Can we, like, seriously, now this is for me personally, not for y'all. Yeah. How do I confront somebody without slapping them? Just being real. I just want to get shot. How?
You're a journalist. So if you're a journalist, that means you know how to talk. That means you know how to put words.
Communication.
Jatia, girl, I believe in you. I know you can do it. You are a well spoken young lady.
Because when you say you got to confront somebody with a healthy response, I'm like, what does that healthy response look like? Because I'm going to be honest. If a dude sitting right here, let's just say, my nigga, you don't piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
So you would say, just talk to him. Say, hey, what you did wasn't right. I'm like, okay, I'm going to come over here. Nigga, what the fuck you did wasn't right? Why the fuck would you go do that shit? And then you're like, that ain't what I said, dude. I'm like, sorry, that what came out my mind.
Every time, so, like, I just made a post about that. I swear to God, it's so funny. Every time I talk to my clients, especially female clients, I'm like, you know, keep your composure. You know, just try to come at them like this. Every single time they come back. What did come back like, I tried.
I tried.
They be like, I tried, but I could. I just couldn't hold it in. I'm like, I just made a post about that. Like, how it's a record breaker.
Writing text messages. For me, I feel like text messages are more better.
Direct me.
I feel like it's better because if we in person, niggas want to cut you off. They want to throw in their 2 cents. I'm not even done saying what I'm saying. I need a message so I could indent, paragraph, comma, nigga.
You know my exclamation mark.
Girl, go back and read it.
They do not read. You ask most men, and they be like, I'm not reading all that shit.
Well, they don't listen either.
They will all tell you, and I don't hear from multiple people. I'm like, y'all don't be reading it? And I done spent my hard time.
But they don't listen all this either. So what are we supposed to do?
It makes you feel better. I feel like confronting a person is not for them. It's more for you. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, for you to be able to get what you have to get off your chest to a person, it will make you feel a lot better than holding it in. Because when you steady around a person, you just associating with them, knowing you feel a way about them, that's making you even more heated.
Right.
You know, that's getting your blood really boiling now because it's like, I really got a problem with you and I really want to say something to you. But a lot of times people just, they don't want to confront things. you can confront things in a way that is receptive and respectful. You know, this is what you're doing. This is what I do not like. Could you do this? It could be three sentences. Yep. It don't have to be an argument. You can tell a person exactly how you feel in three sentences.
I'm gonna try.
They really don't like to know. No, I've been practicing this. Like,
I just go quiet on them.
I love talking. Like, I'm a communications girly. Like, I will try to communicate as clearly, as maturely as possible. And really, it intimidates men because they're used to girls being off their rocker.
But you don't want to talk their head off either. They
I do
like,
talk
okay.
a lot.
Yeah. Don't do that. That do my like, girl, oh, now you lost me.
But why we got to follow all these rules with them? What's their rules? How come I can't talk too much, can't text, can't do this, can't do that, can't throw
no,
nothing?
No, seriously. I always say that. Like, y'all
they just
say,
doing everything.
Exactly. But I feel like men need to, I always say that, men need to listen more. Men need to learn that women have a voice too. Like, it's okay to give your woman a voice, because if you're in a relationship with her and she's not feeling heard, then it's not gonna work, because at some point that woman is gonna explode on you and you're right. not gonna like it. So you better just listen when she's speaking to you calm and
I give
cool.
it two times. After that, maybe one time, maybe two, I don't know. After that second time though, it's rough.
This stuff that I've been practicing, oh my God. It's like Buddhism. I feel like a Buddhist sometimes. It's real Zen.
Before we talk, because you over here spilling the tea, and I think they need to hear this tea. Ugh. I thought somebody was going to cry on the couch.
No, I'm getting aggravated.
Why are you aggravated?
Because men get on my nerves. It's like you can't do no right with these niggas. Like, I try to communicate like an adult. It's like, you know what? You're blocked.
Block and that works too.
It works
fabulous. The block button, just press it,
amen,
and keep it moving
and protect your peace.
Yes, and keep your options open. I always tell people that
don't go
high, don't go high in that.
I love that.
I want to ask this before we go into the group chat.
Okay,
what are three steps that you would give to somebody who wants to work on communicating properly without it exploding?
What three steps
can they take?
Okay, collect your thoughts.
Okay,
so once you gather your thoughts, you got to organize your thoughts. I think a lot of people's thoughts be scattered everywhere. Mm. So in order to effectively communicate, you have to have your thoughts right
in order.
Yes.
Okay, collect your thoughts.
Two, I would say check your tone, because tone is everything. It's not about what you say, it's how you say it. So check your tone before you even say anything. Make sure your tone is correct. And thirdly,
explain the right tone. Hey babe, this is how I'm feeling.
Oh, what? Listen. Oh, that'll work too.
I'm trying.
I do the girl. I am a whole actress.
I'm gonna put both of y'all in the group chat. Now, yes. Try what y'all told me.
Sometimes you gotta be like that, real gentle. You know, very demure. Baby. How you doing?
All right. Okay, so step one, collect your thoughts. Step two, watch your tone.
And three, be honest. Be open and honest about how you feel. Don't just be saying any damn thing. Say what's really on your mind.
Can you go overboard a little bit?
No, I think people say too much. You don't have to overshare your thoughts.
My heart.
Don't overshare your thoughts. Just pinpoint it to summarize it.
Exactly. So that person can hear your needs.
Grasp.
Because the whole mission is to get your needs met. So always think like that. Like, I'm trying to get my needs met. It's hard to get your needs met when you're just crashing out. So that's how I always think about, what do I want? If I crash out, if I say this, I'm not gonna get what I want. So let me just,
what do we want? Do women know what we want?
Honestly, I think we can find out in this group chat, because we getting deep.
Get into it. Come on.
We getting deep. We gotta tell the guests how the group chat work while I get the calls.
All right, so the group chat is pretty much like never have I ever, but it's not like that. It's a little more classy, you know what I'm saying? It's a little, has a little more structure. We're sponsored here by Let's Get Deep
Not
Game.
The structure.
One more structure. You know, we're not just asking crazy, raunchy questions.
I like raunchy questions, actually. Oh. I know I'm a therapist, but y'all, I'm cool.
Your supporters finna know if you're a freak league, not a freak league.
Oh, like, it feels
well. Okay, I'm gonna give you an option. You have icebreaker, deeper, and we'll do icebreaker, deeper. Which one are you gonna do?
What's the other one though?
Activity. I think you gotta actually get up.
No, we're good.
I'm gonna go deeper.
Okay.
Everybody wanna go deeper. I told you, throw away them other cards. You don't need them.
Okay.
We're going deeper every time.
Okay.
If you don't want to drink, sip your wine. I mean, if you don't want to, sorry, if you don't want to answer the question, sip your wine.
Okay.
All right, shut these cards up.
This has got me nervous.
I'm just a little gamey
guy. I feel like these ain't explicit enough for me. Dear Pretty Girls got a card game coming out soon.
I love that for y'all. Please do.
It's gonna be explicit.
Okay.
Because I don't feel like these explicit enough. I love y'all, but these ain't explicit enough.
Not explicit.
So pick any card of your choosing. Pick wisely and carefully.
Love the seasonal.
I think I'm trying to pick the middle. Ooh, this is a great question.
We're in the group chat, y'all.
It says, if you could switch genders for a day, what's the first thing you do?
Ooh, that's fire.
I'm going to be a hoe.
I want to know how it feels.
I'll be here go slagging everywhere. Ooh, I ain't even got to drink without
a hoe. You answer.
You know what? That was my first thought. I was like, I'm probably going
to. I swear I'm swimming in some
pool. I swear. I just want to see how I feel.
It feels amazing.
I don't have to be a hoe, but I think I probably would. That's the first thing I probably would want to do. I would be a trick if I was a dude. Like, if I met a pretty woman and a woman that has some substance that I really find, like, that gets me, and it's over with. I'm taking her to the mall. I'm taking her out to dinner.
I think I would be one.
I'm a smash.
Why? But why would you be a bitch ass? If we was niggas, we'd be bitch niggas, you think?
I feel like now when I'm putting myself in a male fight,
this girl says she has to be a bitch ass.
Because I really want to know. Like, I don't think I'm
going to be a real ass nigga.
In case we make me kiss
you. I'm going to be a real ass nigga. Okay?
Jackie, you know.
Nah, I'm going to have any problems on Saturday.
You ain't going to be my nigga. You ain't going to be my friend, my homeboy. Hell no.
Come on, pull it.
I'm going to be a little light skin with some curly hair.
Oh,
I ain't a light-skinned nigga.
Oh, hell no.
This is the worst.
Jesus Christ. Which movie scene always turns you on? Y'all know what I'm going to say.
Which one?
Baby Boy with Yvette and Jody. Come on now.
What is my favorite?
P-Valley got some scenes.
Oh.
P-Valley. Got stripper show.
What other scenes?
I like the sex scenes in Empower with Ghost. He's so fire.
Yes.
Ghost and Angie Valdez. Very steamy.
Yes. And this is movie on Netflix called 365. They got a lot of scenes. I'm
going to watch it.
I think Power with Ghost. I think Ghost is fire.
Spicy.
I'm
going to
watch it.
Y'all got me.
She picking a good one.
Yeah, I like this.
She had that seasoning on. Yeah.
It was that sprinkle. If you could go back and experience something again, what would it be and why?
Wow.
If I could go back to experience something, I would experience my early 20s. And I'm going to tell you why. Because, matter of fact, I'm going to go back to high school. I might go back to kindergarten. I'm starting shaking my mind.
That's your birthday card.
I would start saving bank. I would go back there and start saving my money.
Yeah,
I swear. Early. I would probably buy a house at 15. Okay?
I'm telling you the truth.
And why would I do that? Because I feel like the longer you wait to do certain things, you kind of, I don't know, you lose the thrill of it. It's more so of like something that you're trying to fight to get. Like, oh, I gotta, you know, like it's too hard. It's a lot of pressure. It's forceful.
The weight of expectations.
If I could go back to like 18, I would be saving up. I wouldn't know how people be saying they would get married and all that. No, I wouldn't know how to do that.
No,
I would definitely be saving that money in the bank.
I would
work on my credit.
Yeah, be the first woman in history to have a 900 credit.
Yeah. And I would even took my academics more seriously.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. I didn't take my education seriously until college. And I feel like it just put me so behind.
Yeah,
I wanted to go to UCLA. And I feel like if I would have focused a lot then, I would have went to UCLA.
I agree.
So just be more responsible.
Those are my two things.
We got one more. Pick anyone.
Can one day, can I pick one?
Okay, we'll let you pick one after. You all the way over there.
I want to pick one day.
Have you ever changed over the past year? Can you describe two ways you changed? This is good. Have I changed over the past year? Definitely. I've definitely changed a lot. And the things that I have changed, I feel like I'm more bolder. I feel like a lot of the things that I want, I'm just going to go get it. And I realize that it's not nobody that's going to save you.
Yeah. Right.
Like, no one is coming here to save you. You have to save yourself. And I think once I had that, like, vibe, I feel like a lot of things have been working in my favor. And also, I've been closer to God. Mm-hmm. So, I've been working on my spiritual healing and my religious healing. You know, I trust God. So, therefore, I'm starting to trust myself a lot more. So, that's what I mean when I say becoming bolder and just making bolder moves and not thinking twice about it.
Confidence. That confidence. Yes. Yep. Amen. Confidence. So, what kind of spiritual work do you do to help you, for people listening? You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like so many people lack that. Like, what kind of work do you do to build your spiritual relationship with God?
I meditate. So, I do a lot of meditation. Mm. And I think that's why I have so much inner peace, because I start my morning off with God. Like, no matter what, like, I don't care what it is, I will never skip praying in the morning.
Hello.
I pray a lot, but definitely have to pray in the morning. And I feel like once you do that, it kind of enhances and it brings joy to your day when you put God first.
It do.
And a lot of times I feel like a lot of people, and even last year, like, not this year because we just started, but if we could go back 1 year, I think a lot of times I was skipping a lot of steps when it came to faith in God. Pray.
I agree with that.
I agree. I would say mine is just working on my anger. I definitely worked on my anger. And getting closer to God. I pray every single night.
Yeah.
I pray during the day. I pray while I'm driving.
Yes.
Like,
and you know what? Getting closer with God also changes your perspective. Like, you really can't complain about shit. Like, once you locked in with God, it's like, what are we complaining about? We woke up this morning. We got a car to drive in.
You talk about motion. People always talk about motion. God is the motion.
The motion.
And he gonna help you with the momentum. Like, people don't understand. Like, you can have motion, but you on a different level when you got that momentum. Like, momentum is meaning you doing this longevity. You know everything is going to be good. Like, and you couldn't stop it if you wanted to. That's that God. You can't stop it if you wanted to.
I could have stopped tomorrow if I wanted to. I swear
you
to
could.
We got this last card.
No, you pick it, Jontia. I literally read each one of them when I opened it. All right, I'm going to take it to the edge. Because nobody's touching me. Okay, what do you spend the most time thinking about and why?
That's it. I always ask my clients that too.
Awesome. Why do you ask your clients that?
Just to see where their head is at. Because the things that you think about all the time is really where your head is at. Yeah.
Mine is literally making money. I'm thinking about my businesses 24/7. I don't stop. I wake up thinking about it. I'm sleep thinking about it.
Like, that's that hunger.
I think about Southern Sea Report. For y'all don't know who Southern Sea Report is, I think about that. What's my next interview? What bookings I got?
Right.
They're pretty girls. All right, how we finna advertise, market, what we got, what we finna do, what we finna elevate on. I'm thinking about getting this wine glasses. Like, I'm literally thinking about all my business.
But see, you don't have kids.
No, I have nieces and nephews.
But see, I bet you your answer is a little bit different.
Yeah, because I do have a son.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm also like that, though, but for me, it's a little spin on it. I just always want to make sure God is pleased with me. Like, I really think about that all the time, because if he's not happy with me, all shit gonna go to hell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like that, but I mean, like, everything goes down the drain. Yeah. So it's like, I also think about, like, my business and my career, but only because I know that's what God wants me to do. So it's like, God, are you pleased with me? Am I being a good mom? Am I being a good person? Like, you know, did I say that wrong? Did I do this wrong? Which it might be overkill, but it's not, because I feel like I'm supposed to go to God first before anything. Like, before I'm trying to impress anybody, I got to impress God. So, like, if I say something to my mom and she got mad, mom, you're going to have to hold that. You know, God told me to tell you what was on my biscuit. You're going to have to hold that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if God going to tell me to jump off a bridge tomorrow, I'm going to have to go jump off the bridge. Everybody going to have to understand later.
Okay.
And some way I'm going to rise about the water. Watch, y'all going to see me rise about the water. Right? God told me to jump.
Ryan, baby, bro.
God told me to jump. I jump, you know?
Okay.
So for me, it's just always making sure I'm following my God-given purpose, like, which happens to be my career. Like, I know that my voice is supposed to touch people. My energy is supposed to grab people, save souls, you know what I'm saying? So that's always just top of my thing. Like, God, are we good? I'm doing good, right? Straight.
Y'all are
straight,
some phenomenal women.
Thank you.
I'm proud. Thank you. I think you should do a card.
I like this deeper ones.
I had to get the sexual question.
I know, right? Cut my sexual part out. Fuck my mama watching. Sorry.
If you got food involved in sex, what would you use and how?
Food?
Yeah.
I mean, the obvious answer is like a whipped cream or strawberry. Don't say that. Say something different.
I'm gonna please. Okay, it's gonna be weird, but this is my fantasy.
Her
not
kinky.
Sure.
Her kinky.
I want cake on you.
Cake? Okay.
Yes, cake. I love cake.
She said it's my fantasy, not yours.
I want to put cake. I'm talking about a whole cake. Put it on you and eat that motherfucker off.
That'll probably be
cute.
Can we get ice cream?
Yeah,
I'm saying that's a big thing. This is gonna turn into a buffet. Hold up, not done yet.
Okay. Hey,
what?
She said, put some fried chicken.
We can do that. I don't got no fantasies with food.
I don't either.
You just made me answer. I could have killed my answer, girl.
No,
that was
how shady that was.
No,
that was actually good.
Okay,
I'll probably be.
Mm-hmm. I support that. I support that.
Okay,
I'm drunk cake. On that one though.
I love cake.
I can do cake.
Eating off my favorite man, even better.
Okay, I remember one time this girl said, "Have you ever tried putting some sweet and sour sauce on your man?" Or
hold up, baby.
I'm like, sweet and sour sauce? Y'all is crazy. Like, this is not weird.
Sweet and sour.
Look at one scene in the Menace of Society where she put hot sauce on him, ranch on him. Y'all don't
do
know
people that do that type of stuff?
I don't know. I saw it in the movie.
I had an ex of mine always want me to do, like, peanut butter and suck it off.
Oh, no.
Pardon my language. But it's like, come on, baby.
No. UPI is ready to come.
Oh, God.
Well,
anyway,
one thing I can say, we shut this girl's group chat down.
That was a spicy one.
And also, before we kind of wrap up and end, do you have any upcoming projects that we can expect and support you on?
Okay, and I do. So we got the book that's available on Amazon, so make sure y'all go get that. Another thing that I'm working on is actually a mental health show. It's called Minding My Mental. We just got together and did the deck and recorded a few episodes. So we wanted to pitch it. And I feel like the concept of it is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's very powerful because you got me along with other therapists that's on the panel. Two licensed therapists that's twins and one other licensed therapist. So we're just really sharing our perspective on mental health, but we also want to have people come on the show, whether it's kids, whether it's you know, just tell their story, kind of like the modern day Mari show,
like Ayana Fix My Life.
Not Ayana. We don't want to go that, you know, we don't want to go that route because I feel like I still want it to be entertaining. So I always explain to the producers, like, make sure it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want people to see more than just the professional side of me because it's so many layers to who I am.
Yeah, shout out to the multifaceted.
And that's another thing, acting. So, I got a few movies on Tubi that I'm in. Lafayette 2, that's one, and PUA. Those are two of the movies that I'm on right now on Tubi. And I actually love those projects. Like, people try to knock Tubi, but they watch it because I'm here.
Tubi's
people be calling me like, girl, is this you on Tubi? I'm like, I thought y'all didn't watch Tubi.
We watched it.
This
is very popular. I did up there with Netflix.
My auntie called me one time. She's like, is this shit with the movie? I'm like, that was me. I played a news reporter at the end.
Yes.
Come on,
now.
Come on.
I love
triple threat. That's what I call it.
Those are the two projects that I'm really focused on. And I'm definitely pivoting into more acting scenes, more show hosting and stuff like that. Like, I love therapy. I actually have my own therapy agency. It's called IAP. So I'm always looking for therapists. If you're a therapist or you're somebody that want to become a therapist, come join my team.
Hey.
But yeah, like, I can see me pivoting, you know, just
okay.
I can provide the therapy for you, therapist.
That's
but
true.
I don't know about
I'm definitely
gonna feel my insurance covers that.
And I do accept insurance. We accept Medicaid, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cigna, Aetna, and United Healthcare.
Okay, because that's actually on my 2025 bingo card. Get a therapist. I'm tired of
you. All need a therapist.
You should.
Yeah. And I think you would thrive so much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If, like, whatever chips on your shoulder, if you could get them off you with a therapist, I think you would skyrocket.
I can see it too.
Yeah.
Yep, I definitely can. And when I met you, that's the first thing you were seeing. So you need to get that.
I've been saying that for the longest because I've always, and I promise you, I was going to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. I always felt like, I felt like a therapist was just somebody who would get paid to listen. So I never went.
I mean, it in a way, yes. But before we leave, I always say you need a therapist that has these three things. A therapist that is relatable, a therapist that is reliable, and a therapist that's real.
Yeah.
Those three things, as long as you got that, you're good. Because you want to know that you're going to a person that's not, that's practicing what they preach. I always tell people, I wouldn't tell you to do something that I wouldn't do.
I know that's right.
Yeah. But you do have the, you know.
You can feel it.
Extra sophisticated therapist that you might be looking like,
Nah, girl, you my type. We could probably drink wine in that
what
section.
What do you like being a celebrity therapist? Do we get really dark with the celebrity vibes, being that they in the industry?
Ooh, and I just got one of my dream clients. I can't tell y'all who, but I was just like, I cannot believe it. You
know? No, I know. You can tell me.
Oh, God. But, It does get dark, but I look at them like human beings, and I think that's the safe place for them because they look at it like, okay, for one, it's confidential. I can't tell anybody. For two, it's like, I think I'm a down-to-earth person. I'm a cool person. You can catch me outside, so it's just like we're relatable. So those three R's is there for them.
Definitely.
And I think that it works for them. And I have a 99% success rate, so it's going good for me.
Period.
Yeah.
Well, we do want to thank you for stepping in with the Dear Pretty Girls.
Thank you.
Because you are a boss lady.
You really
gave me some advice, gave her some advice, gave our some followers, supporters advice, and also like you out here doing your thing. So I do appreciate you coming on there, Pretty Girl, sitting down with us and just decompressing our minds.
Yeah.
We should have meditated for 2 seconds.
Ooh. I was thinking that when I came on. I always start off with a prayer.
Can we
close with a prayer? Close with a prayer.
Okay. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I love a prayer.
I'm ready.
Bow our heads. Go ahead. Take it away.
Take the wine out.
I know, right? You're the same now.
God. But no, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to come together to spread love, life, and motivation to the world. Thank you to the owners of this podcast. Thank you to the producers, everybody that's behind the scene. I just thank you for this opportunity and for us to be able to sit and be at peace with ourselves and to learn and to just fellowship, God. Thank you. And I just ask that you continue to give us more blessings, continue to pour into us, continue to heal our mind, body, and our spirits, God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank you so much, Tierra. And where can I find you at on our platform?
You can find me at Tierra Leanne, TIEARALEEANN. And once you Google me, you will see that I'm on Psychology Today, which is a great platform for Black therapists. So if you're ever looking for a therapist, you can find verified therapists. So it's not like not saying nothing against life coaches, but you know, have people who are really verified. They verify everybody that come on the site. And you can literally shop for a therapist. So that's one of the platforms that I want to start highlighting more.
All right, now.
Yeah.
I heard here first from Miss Sierra Lee. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I know how it feels to get a name true. But y'all heard it here first on Dear Pretty Girls. Rocky, where can they listen to us at?
You can listen to us on anywhere you can listen to podcasts. Okay. We talking about Spotify. We talking about Apple Podcasts. We talking about YouTube. And follow us on Instagram at Dear Pretty Girls XO.
And send us that email as well, DearPrettyGirlsXO@gmail.com. And you will see us on the next podcast. And remember, being pretty isn't all to your story.
Clearly.
Bye.